from Lena Versi Athletics. This is the Burn 'Em Up podcast. Now let's join your host, Carmen Lastoria and Philip Tang.
Welcome back to the Burn 'Em Up podcast, brought to you by Food City. Philip Tang, Carmen Lastoria here with you. Carmen, it's been a couple weeks. We are now in April, which means postseason for all the spring sports is just around the corner. Hard to believe the semester has flown by this quickly.
You know, it really is, Philip. It's been another fantastic year for Lee Athletics, but it does. It does tend to fly by, especially this time of year as the weather warms up a little bit. And, this is one of my favorite times of year because, you know, you're right in the throes of the regular season, kind of coming to a climactic end for our spring sports and pushing towards postseason. So it's an exciting time and certainly a time when we have a lot of home events, as yes, we do this week on campus. So it gives our fans and our students a great opportunity to see these guys play.
Yeah, it's Lee Day this weekend coming up here at Lee, and everybody that is playing is at home this weekend, which is pretty good.
Absolutely. Lee Day, for those of you that don't know, is the it's the student engagement promotion event that we do every year. It's a great way to recruit students. It's our biggest recruitment event of the year, and so there's going to be hundreds of prospective students and families on campus, and they're going to get to see some high quality athletic teams competing here this weekend, because as you mentioned, everybody at home, should be a great atmosphere on campus, a lot of different events going on, so really excited about it.
One of the teams that's finally at home after what seemed like it's been a long first 2 months away is the men's tennis team. They've had a great start to the season, Carmen, and Francisco Faria Kiko with us here today. And man, you guys must be glad to be finally playing a couple games at home this weekend.
Yeah, usually, I mean, last year we had an easier schedule in terms of playing at home more often. This year, I feel like we spend more time in the van than on the actual tennis court when
sure,
we play away.
I'm sure.
But it's good to be back home. I mean, we had one match at home, and it went pretty well for us. But coming up, we have big battles, and those are going to determine the rest of our season and how our postseason is going to be. So I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty sure the whole team is pretty excited to play in front of the other people from the community, including students and fans.
Now, Kiko, this is your second year here at Lee, so just tell us a little bit about kind of what attracted you to the men's tennis program and what you've enjoyed most about being a part of it, because, I mean, quite frankly, you've been a part of the best era in men's tennis, in Lee men's tennis history, with the success you guys had last year, you know, getting ranked as high as in the top 10, and then certainly I know you've got big goals coming up for the GSC postseason as well this year, so just talk about your experience here at Lee so far.
Yeah, so I was in Chicago first. Before I came here, I was in an AIA school, and I was playing the ITA Cup in Rome, in Georgia. And Bruno was a player and a grad assistant here, came to watch me, and I had a pretty good run in that tournament. And I had 2 years left of eligibility to come to play, which was a good opportunity for me, because tennis has been my big passion since I was 8, 9 years old. So the opportunity presented itself. I couldn't refuse it. Coach Shines was always pretty straightforward with me, pretty clear with what he wanted. I had my goals in mind, and I came. It has been 2 amazing years for me, honestly, better than what I was hoping for. Team culture is great. The support that we have from all the staff, from all the athletic trainers, coaches is great. Team culture has been built throughout these 2 years, has changed a little bit. I think it has. We had some new guys coming in. We had to kind of rebuild a little bit, but they are at a stage where they actually know what is required from them. It's what you said. It's the best era in the program, and that requires different standards that probably before we didn't have. And those guys have to fit in and know right away what the standards are, which sometimes is not easy. But they've been doing a pretty good job, and they've also been getting some wins, and they fit into the culture already. So I'm really happy with them, and all the team culture has been a really good experience for me.
Great.
So what were the steps for getting some of these new guys to kind of fit in the culture? What did you guys have to, like, maybe not teach them, but help them learn about what Lee tennis is?
I think the biggest thing for me is how you face not only on the court, not only on the practice court, but also on when you're outside the court. Also, when you're recovering, when you're on the gym, when you're eating, when you're doing your nutrition, all that stuff comes into play. Tennis, I usually say you have to eat, think, and sleep tennis right away, because it's not a 2-hour-a-day sport or 3-hour-a-day. You have to have tennis in your mind in everything that you do. in the decisions, what time you go to bed, what time you go to eat, what do you drink. All that stuff comes into play when you're actually out on a tennis court. The preparation doesn't come only when you're on the tennis court. It comes hours and hours and hours before. You don't play only those 2 hours. You play 24 hours a day. That's how I see it. And that's, for me, that's the biggest mindset and the biggest game changer for the new guy, especially.
Now, Kiko, tell us, is there a certain professional player that you admire that you try and model your game after? I'm always curious when, you know, when we talk with student athletes, was there a guy growing up that you really looked up to in the professional game and kind of maybe modeled your game after?
Yeah, there are. I mean, the big three, Djokovic, Rafa, and Roger, those are all probably the role models of 95% of the players
sure,
that we see.
Yeah.
But my favorite player growing up was David Ferrer. I don't know if you knew him. He's
yeah.
Spanish. He retired around 3-4 years ago. And my game is, whoever knows him knows that my game is pretty similar to his. I mean, we're pretty similar in terms of genetics, height, the way we move on the court. And that's a player that I've always enjoyed watching for his fighting spirit and how much effort and how much grit he had in the court.
You're from Portugal. What was the tennis scene like growing up? Like, how competitive was it, you know, as a young age going through, as you're growing up, how competitive was it?
I've started when I was 9, so for tennis, this is a little bit late, but I started competing when I was 10. So one year and a half, and I was already into competition. And the moment that I started competing, I almost fell in love with it because I hadn't really been in any competitive sport until then. And it kind of lined up the spark of the competition side, of the competitive side of me. So I've always taken tennis really seriously. And the competition side is what has kept me going since then. Because I remember before I came into the States, I had problems with eligibility and I couldn't really play tournaments back then for around 9-10 months. And my willingness to practice went from 100% to probably 30 or 40%. Because if you don't have short-term goals to keep you motivated, mm-hmm. it's a little bit harder. But tennis has been always very serious for me since the beginning. I've never skipped the practice for just because I didn't want to. You know, I skipped practice for injuries and personal reasons. But I've never woke up and I was like, oh, I don't want to practice. You know, as long as the tournaments are there and the competitive side is there, I always want to go on the tennis court and try to improve 1% every day.
That's great. I love that. You know, improve every day, improving, yeah. getting better every day. And that competitive spirit certainly shines on the court. All right. Now, I know Lee tennis takes up a bulk of your time and that's your passion, but maybe talk a little bit about the Lee experience outside of tennis. So some of your classes, you know, food you enjoy at the dining hall. What's been the experience outside of tennis at Lee University?
As you guys know, I'm an MBA student, so I end up not having a lot of campus life.
Right.
I live off campus. I only go to classes once a week because we only have class on Thursday night from 6 to 9. So I don't have all the undergrad experience that a regular student does. But all my experience has been around the tennis team. And we end up doing some activities together. We've done some volunteer.
Yeah, talk about maybe off the court, right? Even
yeah.
with the tennis team, but kind of the off the court, you know, building that camaraderie, community service, other, you know, events and things that you guys are able to do.
Yeah, it's what I told you. All the stuff that we do, all the stuff that I do usually is always with the same people. It's people from the team. If you ask me, I probably know, I don't know more than 10 people off the tennis teams. But we're always having people over. For example, during Easter, we had in my house, I live with Mike and Quinn, the Dutch brothers. We had Easter dinner with the whole team.
Great.
We had everyone at our house. And the fact that we're all internationals, we're all on the same page, you know. We're all away from our families,
sure,
we're all
yeah.
away from our parents, from our home food, all the things we miss the most. We're all away from it, so we can only have with each other to support and to have each other backs. But it has been outside, even outside the court, we can still find the ways of having a great time, even when tennis takes so much time away from us. But outside the court, for example, again, yesterday night, me and my roommates, Mike and Quinn, we watched a movie for like 2 hours. We were just like, let's watch a movie tonight. So we went and we spent 2 hours on the couch just watching a movie. The Easter dinner, we always try, especially in the weekends when the weather is better, we always try to get activities done.
Now, speaking of food? Did you cook up a Portugal dish, or did they pick? Was there some different food represented, or was it mostly nobody can cook on the team? Huh?
No, actually, the three of us, Mike, Quinn, and I, were actually pretty decent cooks. But we don't really have traditional dishes that we cook. We go food bank sponsored, so we actually use the food bank a lot.
What about the steak, huh? What about that? Talk about that, huh?
Well, coach is always giving me crap over the steak, but we're always, if you go to our freeze, it's ribeye, New York strip,
and T-bones. Hey, I'm coming over. Where do you live? I'm coming over your house tonight.
You should. We actually, yesterday night, we had four ribeyes for dinner. Hey, so, okay. I mean,
that's what I'm talking about.
But, we don't really get to cook traditional dishes, but every night we feast.
There you go.
We can put it like that.
What's been fun about learning about different cultures? Because there's obviously a bunch of Europeans on the team, but there's also players from all over the world on this team. What's it been like learning about culture from Australia or other parts of Europe or even Asia?
I think at the end of the day, it's pretty... knowing all these different cultures and these different backgrounds really helps you developing as a person. Knowing how to deal with certain people, because the cultural background is going to shape their personalities a little bit. For example, Mike and Tom are pretty much similar in terms of personality. Me and Philippe, even though we're from the same country, we're still a little bit different. But the nice part about having to deal with all these different cultures and these different backgrounds is that it helps you developing as a person and how you end up dealing. And that's going to translate to the future, and that's going to translate to the actual world when most of us get actual jobs, if it is inside the tennis world or outside the tennis world. The tools that we're building right now by having to deal with all these different personalities and cultures, I think is going to help us in the future a lot.
As we look now to the rest of the season, it's just a few more weeks before postseason starts. What's some of the goals you guys have in terms of just getting ready to wrap up the season and make this postseason push?
We established the goals at the beginning of the season, and one of our goals was to make it better than last season. So last year we lost in the semis of the conference tournament. This year we want to make it to the finals and reach the regionals, even though, I mean, I think everyone here knows what happened last year, according to regionals.
I have been very outspoken about that. I mentioned it on the podcast last year. To this point, I have not gotten fined by anybody or anything, but it was a travesty, by the way, that you guys didn't get into regionals. So, but a chance for redemption.
Yeah, we'll try to do our best this year. The season has been going well. We're, I think, 8-1 this year, which is a good record. It's similar to what we had last year. But it's what we said, the big, big battles are still coming up, and those five matches that we still have in the regular season are going to determine a lot of what's going to happen in the postseason. Hopefully we can do great. I think the whole team has been preparing well on and off the court. We have a great mindset, and all I can say is that everyone's ready and excited to play on Friday.
Well, Kiko, thanks so much for joining us. As we mentioned earlier, you've been a big part of the success that the Lee Men's Tennis Program has had over the last couple of years. So grateful that you chose Lee University, and you've been a big part of continuing to build that excellent culture under Coach Patrick Hine. So thanks so much for joining us, man.
We look forward to
seeing you this weekend in battle at the DeVos Tennis Center.
We'll take a quick timeout. Be back with more here in a moment on the Bottom Up Podcast.
Attention, shoppers. Don't forget to ask our certified butchers for great recipe tips.
This is an authentic butcher shop,
where meat is hand-cut in-store, beef is ground fresh daily, and expert advice from a certified butcher is always free of charge.
Free advice? That's what I call value. The quality I crave, the value I count on.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Welcome back to the Burn 'Em Up Podcast, brought to you by Food City. Philip Tang, Carmen Astoria, joined by Chris Battle here in this wrap-up segment here today. And Carmen, it's been a busy couple of weeks. The Flames baseball team has had a nice little run, got the sweep of Huntsville last weekend. The tennis teams are, as we've talked about with Kiko, both playing very, very well. We had a golf team individual get a win in Yui this past week, so we've had a lot of accomplishments in the 2 weeks that we missed.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic year so far. Like I said, a lot of excitement around the spring sports. I mean, we talked with Kiko, and both men's and women's tennis teams, they've combined two losses. I think their combined record is 15-1 or 15-2 or 16-2. So, they're playing really well. They've got some big battles coming up. Baseball's ranked 15th in the country, and they've got home series with West Al coming up, and then they go on the road to Union, and then two big ones at the end. You've got Delta State at home, which is part of Military Appreciation Day in a couple of weeks, and then you go on the road to wrap up with West Florida. So those are two of the top teams in the Gulf South Conference. But, I mean, the Flames right now are the top team in the GSC, so it's they're going well. Softball's coming off a big win against the number one team in the country, against North Georgia, although they ran into a buzzsaw in Alabama Huntsville this past weekend. But, yeah, golf team's playing well, track and field. We know what they're doing. They're hosting a big meet this weekend and setting preliminary marks for nationals for outdoor after a great indoor season. So a lot of excitement.
Yeah, the track team's got that big invitational. Christian Noble's coming back to do a couple of runs. He's going to be a pacer, I believe. So if you want to watch Christian do a race himself and then pace,
well, he is,
come watch some speed. Yes,
you can come. And he is going for a 355 mile. So he is going for a record. I believe that would be a Tennessee record for the mile, 355. I think that's
yeah. It's hard to even fathom, you know, running
so
that quick.
Let me try and pull it up here. He's going to run that Friday night. Times, of course, are approximate, but let me pull up his post here.
I was going to say, because I think the fastest mile I've ever run is like a 5:45. I don't think I've ever gotten below that.
Tennessee soil record, meaning in Tennessee, would be the fastest mile at 7:20. If you want to see a sub-4 mile, come on out to Lee University on Friday at 7:20. So Christian Noble's going to attempt to run. I believe he said he wants to attempt to run a 355 mile, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Chris, what's your fastest mile?
I think fastest mile is seven minutes.
That's
I ran it back in like ninth grade. So
my fastest, okay. I'm going to brag a little bit here.
Okay.
6:29.
Okay.
And I ran it a few months ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
shout out to Orange Theory Fitness for the for the help with that.
I'm pretty sure when I played soccer in high school, I got just under a 6-minute mile. But the last probably decade, I don't think I've gotten under a 6.
So real quickly, to put that in perspective, okay, go on a treadmill and put it up to – you would have to go – to run a 355 mile, I believe you would have to be at
– it's like almost –
12 miles per hour, 13 miles per hour?
Or if not more.
Maybe even more. But dead sprint. Like, literally, it would be a dead sprint. 355 is ridiculous. So, anyway, come on out to the Raycon Sports Complex. Not only are you going to see some great competition, but also you're going to see a professional runner, former national champion, All-American Christian Noble, who, of course, for so long was such a great athlete here at Lee University. So that'll be fun.
And more perspective, it's a 400 meters around that inside lane. So a mile's just over 1,600 meters. So he's doing basically a minute around each time. Put that, like, if you go out there, you're like, man, this is a long, long way for 1 minute.
No matter how you slice it, crazy. No. Yeah. That's crazy.
But that's just part of the big weekend we mentioned. It's Lee Day weekend, so hopefully if you're in town, come join it and bring some people that might want to attend Lee and see what Lee is all about. And we've got baseball, softball, track and field, tennis, and lacrosse at home this weekend.
Yeah, and special events too. So Saturday, baseball is doing a Little League Day.
Yes.
So if you are a Little League baseball player in the area, come on out. You can be on the field during the anthem, be in the dugout before the game, get autographs from the players. So great opportunity there to bring the family out. I know there's several people I go to church with that are going to bring their kids, their boys, so and girls. Come on out for Little League Day on Saturday.
I know you played Little League. Chris, did you play Little League? I did not.
I did not.
Mm-mm. I was a soccer guy.
Yeah, it was a big part of my whole childhood growing up. Baseball was my first love. And so, yeah, I mean, and then, you know, I'm thinking about me being a kid at 8, 9 years old, how cool that would be to be out there with college athletes. I mean, you know, they look at those guys like they're pro ball players.
Yes, right.
Some of them will be.
Hopefully.
I have an opportunity. So that'll come on Saturday. Sunday is Lacrosse Out Cancer, which is a big event that lacrosse hosts every year to benefit the Austin Hatcher Foundation right there in Chattanooga. It's a special event close to Coach Mego's heart. Megan Smith is a cancer survivor, overcame her battle with cancer a couple of years ago, and is just such a great advocate for that. And then, you know, we've personally been touched a lot by cancer, unfortunately, lately with Coach Carpenter, our former athletic director. And then we have two current student athletes that are battling cancer, a former longtime director of sports medicine, Jeff Mullen. So the Lee University family really rallying behind this cause. So that'll be a special event on Sunday. There'll be kids from the Austin Hatcher Foundation that will be there, so always a special time there. And then the tennis teams are going to honor their seniors on Sunday as well. So not only do we have a jam-packed weekend with softball and baseball, lacrosse, tennis, track and field hosting their event, but also some very special events tied to those things as well.
Oh, definitely. So the Austin Hatcher Foundation doing great work down out of the Chattanooga area. We know we tied in the fall with Kicking It for Kids with
right,
Cancer,
with the women's soccer
team. The lacrosse has their own special day. And it's, you know, just a great time to see all the kids be out there. I'm going to miss it because I'll be working softball because
right.
It was so much fun last year to work that game.
It was.
I hate to have to miss it.
It's one of my favorite events of the year. And shout out to Shayna Ryan Webb, who was a standout all-conference lacrosse player here at Lee. She's now the marketing director for the Austin Hatcher Foundation. So her, along with several of her colleagues and the kids that they really make a huge impact in their lives and the families' lives that they're able to minister to, will be there as well. So it'll be a special event.
And we are in April, so that means we are counting down the days to our first ever Give Day on April 23rd. We're just a few weeks out, Carmen, from this big opportunity.
Yeah, you're making me nervous over here.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm nervous, right?
We are a few weeks out, and hopefully you've seen a lot of the content that has been on social media and content, you know, press releases and different information about it. But the biggest thing is, if you believe in what we're doing at Lee Athletics, if you believe in the difference that these student-athletes are making in our community, if you believe in what athletics, the role athletics plays in really the development of a young person and, you know, our vision, we believe and we exist to develop and graduate champions in all facets of life. So we want to develop and graduate champions in the classroom, in their sport, in their faith, and in their community. And Lee's a special place where all four of those things take place in a really unique way. So there are a lot of great athletic collegiate athletic programs out there that are making a big difference. But for the 300-plus student-athletes that are Lee University student-athletes, you know, their lives are being personally changed by being a Lee student-athlete. You're hearing some of their stories, but then the difference that they make, not just while they're here, but after they graduate. I mentioned, yes, Shayna, when they go out into the world and they're leading nonprofits, or they're teaching in schools, or they're, you know, running companies, or they're ministering the gospel in churches, or whatever, you know, or they're doctors or nurses or athletic trainers, or going back into sports as coaches or, you know, athletic, yes, administrators. They're making a difference. And so we're obviously just really passionate about that. And so we're just asking for support to continue to do what we've been doing with excellence. And we're really excited about it. April 23rd is the day. You've probably seen the link out there. It's live. You can give now.
Yes, yes.
But April 23rd will be the day we really focus in. And so you'll be hearing, if you're personally connected to a student athlete at Lee, you'll be hearing more about that from them in the coming weeks. And of course, more content from us as we build up to it. But yeah, it's a great opportunity for us to partner with our great alumni and friends of Lee Athletics to continue to develop and graduate champions in all facets of life.
All right, before we go, Chris, it's your first time on the podcast. We have what we call a fired up moment of the week, where we give our opinion on what we think was the best moment of the week in Lee Athletics. Since you're new, we'll let you go last. Let you process and think. A lot to choose from, Carmen, from the last couple of weeks. We'll go a couple weeks. We'll give a different couple of weeks. I want to go with Cam Sudo's performance in that one Christian Brothers series, just going absolutely nuts. We had 28 runs scored in that game. He had 9 RBI in two games, just absolute dominating performance from Cam Sudo.
Yeah, I think for that week he had 15 RBIs.
Yeah, he had 15 RBIs.
In four games.
He was Gulf South Conference Player of the Week, Tennessee Sports Writers Player of the Week, the D2 Baseball Insider Player of the Week. So it's a crazy, crazy thing what he was able to accomplish.
Yeah, and the crazy part about that is, I mean, you know, Cam Sudo has been red hot, but Dylan Stanford swinging a hot bat, Brandon yes. Daniels has been, you know, I mean, just up and down the lineup. It's been crazy. Lee baseball's had a great year so far. Excited to see the rest of the season and in the postseason. That's a great one. Let's go women's golf.
Okay.
How about Yui?
Yes. Winning. Okay.
Tournament a couple weeks ago. Women's golf team is currently ranked 6th in the South region, which is by far the most loaded region in the country.
Yes.
And they are highly ranked, first ranked GSC team. So they're poised to make a nice run at the GSC tournament here in a couple of weeks. So shout out to Yui, who's having another fantastic year for Coach G. Winning a tournament, winning a golf tournament, never easy. And I think she's got 5 or 6 in her career now.
Somewhere in that number.
So that's a tribute to the type of success and the type of player is. She's won the GSC tournament individually before. And so I know that's probably one of her goals as well. But the women's golf team is hosting the South South region. Yes. So they're in really good shape to, of course, be there. And, hey, when you're playing on your home course, you got a great advantage. So we're excited about that. So shout out to Yui and the women's golf team as they continue to do a great job here this year.
Chris, do you have a fired up moment of the week?
Yes, I would say the softball's win against North Georgia, the number
That's
one.
That's a great one. Absolutely. Yeah, can't leave that one out.
Yeah, winning 3-9. That was crazy. When I saw that, I was like, wow. We beat the number one team. That was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a signature win right there. You know, and it's been an up and down year. I mean, offensively, this is one of the top teams in the country in swinging the bats. You know, and we've struggled at times to get batters out, but you know, it's a tough schedule. Obviously, you have that split and you feel good about it, and then you go down to Huntsville and you know, Huntsville is one of the top teams in the nation, but I'm expecting a nice bounce back weekend here for our softball team as they take on West Alabama.
Yeah, it'll be a big battle because West Alabama is 8th or 9th in the conference standings, so we got to get that last conference spot, so we'll see how that all plays out. That's going to do it for this edition of the Burn 'Em Up podcast. We'll be back with you next week. As always, we're brought to you by Food City. Chris Battle for Carmel Story. I'm Philip Tang. So long, everybody.